to welcome everyone. A real pleasure to be back here. It's my second time here in London. And, you know, when Andrea said explain the structure, hearing now, you know, lunch is half an hour later, you know, because one of the challenges with this day-long for me is always how to fit it all in. So it's like very precisely planned. So the overall structure will be, there will be sitting, we will be sitting together in silence, and there will be some walking. There will be an alternation between the two, and I have to suss out yet how we do it exactly. So bear with me, because I'm aware that there isn't an outdoor place here, and what I might suggest later that we actually maybe make a little bit space on the edges of the hall so that if people wish can actually walk in circles in the hall. So so far so good is the structure. So it's a real pleasure to be here. I'm not used to be introduced in this way. It's quite so the theme of this is this day-long, and actually just taught a retreat with the same name, The Beauty of Belonging, was inspired by several things, really. One was that hearing, that I hear again and again from people, you know, this deep felt pain of having the sense of somehow not belonging. You know, feeling alienated, separated, lonely. You know, I feel I'm not part. You know, I feel I'm not part of this group. You know, I'm always the outsider, and so forth. And what also inspired me was one of the core teachings of the Buddha. Because what when he sat under the tree over 2,500 years ago, what he really saw clearly, what he understood very, very deeply, was one of the major ways we misperceive reality. And what he discovered was a radically different, counterintuitive way to see, to understand this self, to understand the world and this life. So very often, at least when I heard about, you know, enlightenment, one can have all kinds of images of actually what happened to the Buddha when he sat under the tree. So for some time I thought, you know, there was like a literally he was struck by light, and then he entered a state of eternal bliss, you know. Or we might think that he discovered God or a true essence, but this is not what he seemed to have discovered. But a ways to really perceive the world very, very differently. So when we look around, we perceive ourselves like separate projects. You know, I'm a separate project from you, have different issues. And we are walking around in separate bodies, moving through a world of separate things. That's how it appears to the physical eyes. This is how we perceive. And the Buddha perceived what he discovered, that actually all existence is a dynamic, self-sustaining web of relations, of patterns, of circuits of dependency, arising, staying a little bit, and passing away by their own interplay. So what he understood deeply is how we perceive, what we perceive arises and passes, and how events happen and relate to each other. so that all aspects of our world, all factors of our lives really, come into existence in a dynamic web of interdependency, of contingency, of co-arising. And all aspects of our existence help each other to happen. You know, they provide occasions, the context, the locus to arise. So we affect, they affect, and then in turn they are affected. And I think what is very important, first of all, I just as a sideline, you know, when the Buddha, historical figure, so the myth goes, discovered this, he actually he didn't want to teach. He said, this is too profound. People will not understand. People will not understand. And then, you know, the gods came and the devas came. They said, oh, please, 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 please teach, please teach. You know, and he said, I feel vexed and wary or something. It's like, you know, we are entangled in this web of misperception. And I think what is really important, that this is not a belief, but something we can see for ourselves, we can actually cultivate to see. We can cultivate to see in this way. And it has to become something which is more and more deeply ingrained, I think, in our perception. So this profound understanding, this was another thing which inspired me for this for the day long, was also a quote by the Vietnamese teacher, Zen teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh. And he said, we are here to awaken from our illusion of separateness. It's quite a statement, you know. He didn't even say we are here to awaken to be happy. We are here to awaken from our illusion of separateness. And before I came, the last days, I was just reading Stephen Batchelor's translation of Nagarjuna's verses from the center. And he puts it a little bit in historical context, and he mentions Shantideva, an Indian sage and the author of the Bodhisattva Way of Living. Yeah, I think this is the title. And he says, you know, Shantideva realized inside himself that there wasn't any that his sense of being was not grounded in a personal essence hidden somewhere inside himself, you know, because it's very often how we perceive ourselves, you know, this is Kirsten. There's somehow this essence of Kirsten somewhere. But that we are all created, again, same thing in a different different language, different, slightly different words. We are all created out of a myriad of relationships with others and this world. The I cannot and does not exist in isolation. Come on in. Self, and I will speak more about it, self, and we have to already think a little bit when we see self, so it's not this separate thing. Self is relational. It's a relational self. So illusion of separateness. Are you at times utterly convinced that you are a separate human being? I am. It's just interesting to see this. You know, sitting, I was staying in a hotel last night, and I just see this, how quickly I go into this. You know, out there. You know this feeling out there. So at times we are utterly, actually mostly, most of the times, most of us are utterly convinced to subtler or less subtle degrees that we are separate. And the Buddhas, the Thich Nhat Hanh, and many, many, many other teachers speak of an illusion, of a misperception. A misperception that gives actually rise to all kinds of problems. And it is a perception that doesn't hold up to when we actually, when we look a little bit deeper, when we scrutinize it. And Thich Nhat Hanh's quote, the Buddha's discovery, links for me also directly to my interest of Andrea mentioned, of what is actually going on in our times. You know, here we are born into these times. What is going on? And maybe one, I don't think that this is the only way of seeing it, but one way of seeing it, that what is happening right now on all kinds of different levels is an expression of a deep belief into separation. One way of seeing it, you know, and I think we always have to, we really need to have the malleability and the flexibility to look at situations with different ways. Not right, this is now the truth, but this is one way of seeing it which can actually open up something, how I relate to it. So this deeply ingrained sense of separation in all its different levels, in all its different expressions, is maybe, among many, one of the reasons that we as a species find ourselves where we find ourselves right now in. So I think also the 1st of October, this was one of the reasons I think I was invited at this particular time. It's the first week of October since a couple of years is among inside meditation practitioners and other Buddhist practitioners has been declared is the Earth Care Week. Isn't it? Is it? Yeah. It's not that it's very known, but it's the Earth Care Week. So it's a really one of the, or invites this intention. Today is an expression of care, caring for this expression of the web of life. You know, our location, where all this myriad of factors come together. And also as an expression of how maybe we live in this world, how we perceive ourselves. And for our time together here today, I really invite you all to undertake with me the five trainings, these five precepts, this intention of non-harming. And I won't say much about it, you know, I just want to mention it. You know, the training to not want to harm life, to not take in what is not given. To refrain from harming with our speech, with what we say, internally and externally. Harm through the expression of our sexuality. And also harm we can do when we intoxicate. It's a really refraining from taking any recreational drugs. And I really, you know, again, I'm aware that I'm just really making these highlights. So much more can be said about it. But really seeing this as a framework that expresses care and expresses also this intention of non-harming. And it takes care that we have this intention that we do not intentionally impact on others by any harmful actions. With any harmful actions. Because we know, hopefully, that we are impacting and we can take responsibility for our actions. So we can act out of a care of compassion rather than just following rules. We protect ourselves and others in this. And a quote from Stephen Batchelor's book, first is from the center, said about Shantideva, when the impact of his insight into the interdependence of all things struck home, Shantideva started to understand that the equality of self and other is much more than just a worthy moral assumption. It has become an inescapable existential fact, because even the holding of me and other in this way doesn't make sense anymore. Okay. So are you in agreement with this, that we undertake this intention of non-harming for the day? So illusion of separateness we have on one side, and then the beauty of belonging. And really maybe asking ourselves, what may this mean for me and myself? You know, belonging can have all kinds of different connotations. What may it mean for me to belong? You know, what may it mean for me how I perceive myself, others? It's something we can really hold lightly, reflective, caring, kindly. And I would like to offer some reflections around this, and I'm not at all intending to cover the whole territory. It's really just some food for thought, for reflection, for contemplation, maybe for further inquiry. And that's all I can do really in this short time. So not at all any in-depth exploration and shattering of all illusion of separateness. And I really invite you all to be playful and creative in this inquiry. You know, that there is really an interest and a curiosity with openness. And openness really requires that we are open, you know, that we actually, you know, get a little bit space of beliefs you might be holding very, very dearly. So right now, maybe, just sense if there is maybe the tendency right now to make non-separateness and or belonging yet another goal to achieve, another issue, another problem we need to attend to in ourselves. Just see if this is arising. Oh, I should feel less separate. And see, the moment actually we are doing this, there is already more separation. Isn't it? It's funny. I should be less, whatever, separate. We are creating more separation. If it becomes yet another goal, we are acting from the perspective of separateness again. It's really an invitation to trust that this exploration doesn't mean to become anything different, or that we have to get out somewhere to somewhere else, but it's about to getting closer, to listen, to get more sensitive, to find out. So it's more like a turning around rather than I have to get there. And what can be also helpful, and I just really want to mention this in the beginning, rather than, we very easily can have this tendency when we hear something like separateness and then the other extreme is belonging or not being separate, that we can very easily create these two disconnected extremes, poles. You know, we are either here or we're there. You know, this is good and this is bad. And if we are in separateness, we want to be over there. What can be much, much more helpful is to see that we actually probably throughout the day we are moving on a continuum. Times we feel more separate, times we feel less separate. Times where belong more, others where belong have sense of belonging less. Does it make sense? Probably if already listening to me, there were like movements where they say, who is she, or that's interesting, or I don't like. It's movement of separateness and, So we are moving on this continuum. And with this moving along a continuum, it's really an invitation to get interested, how do we perceive us, others, life, world? How do we define our goals in life, our purpose in life even, according to where we are finding ourselves on this continuum? Does it make sense? Where we are will impact quite a lot of how we see the world. What is important, what isn't. And again, not making anything wrong, or we should be here or there, but actually getting really interested in it. Are you with me in this? Yeah? Please ask questions if you aren't. Because where we are on the continuum will influence what we hold important, or where we put our energy, and so forth. You know, just to mention this.